Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast is your one-stop shop for fantasy football news and advice. Can't decide on who to draft on the first round? Going gaga on how to line up your team? Got you covered. Traditional leagues, dynasty leagues, PPR leagues, IDP leagues, even daily fantasy football leagues. Join us as we break down all the questions of fantasy football. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast.
What is up? Welcome to GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast on a Tuesday today here. My name is Tom Doherty, your host. As always, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. As we're going to get right into it, It is closing in on the first week of preseason. For fantasy owners, even though most of us, I mean, you better not have drafted yet. If you've drafted already, you're asking for it, what I'm about to say. But you better not have drafted yet. As I said, Labor Day is the perfect day to draft. We have the day off work. You got to go have a party in your backyard with your friends, get your laptops, or order one of those cool little boards like I did last year off Amazon. It comes with the stickers, and you can go up and put your stickers and gives you one of the little posters. It's pretty cool, actually. I just had some fun doing that, as then you just input all the names after. It took me probably about 10, 15 minutes to do that. It wasn't that big of a deal. But yeah, just put the names in. But, you know, don't draft yet. But this is just still the time where, like, okay, you're trying to identify some players you want. You have, obviously, so many options. The first two rounds this year, there's so much talent in this league. It is just absolutely ridiculous how much talent it is. Not like in the past where it's like, if I don't get Adrian Peterson, I'm screwed. Well, if you don't get Le'Veon Bell, you got options, baby. You got options. You got Todd Gurley. You got David Johnson. You got Alvin Kamara. You got Kareem Hunt. You got Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, you can try and think about, we talked about performance variables on the show. It always comes back up into my mind because all those guys are great. But one of them just came off of a crazy year. Probably can't back it up just the same exact that he can, but hopefully can be, you know, not huge regression. That's the Gurley. One's coming into his second season after a rookie year that started off great and then had a kind of a soft middle and end to it, Kareem Hunt. And Spencer Ware's back, and Spencer Ware could be taking some touches from him. So there's another little wrinkle in that. Alvin Kamara might be seemingly just based off of volume, he's definitely seems like he's definitely a little more attractive, especially early, maybe even earlier in the first round than you'd think, because of the fact that he's going to be in by his lonesome for the first 4 weeks when Mark Ingram serves his suspension. So I think it's going to be a test. I'm actually thinking it's going to be more of a test than an opportunity for Kamara, because Kamara, we've seen him just go off when he's on the field with Mark Ingram. Is when he's not necessarily every time, but a lot of stuff. Watch his highlights. A lot of them is catching the ball to the backfield, running those little wheel routes, getting matchups against a safety or linebacker, and being able just to beat him to the punch there. So out of the breaks, and he runs routes great. So I mean, in PPR, I would not be afraid of him no matter what, even though he's going to have a test, I think, and might have a little bit, maybe something. There's always, for young players, there is such thing as overworking them. I mean, there's compared to like Le'Veon Bell or Ezekiel Elliott or David Johnson, just feed the beast, baby. I mean, I'm saying baby a lot now. I've had it twice. I don't know. I'm just getting excited. We're coming closer and closer to the season. It's just, we're going to be a month away tomorrow from game one, I think. Or no, maybe game Sunday game one. I think game one's actually the first game is on a Thursday. I'll look up the NFL schedule in a minute. I'm not going to do it while I'm talking. But yeah, it's just Kamara, I don't know, Zeke, David Johnson, Bell, feed him. They can handle it. They've shown they can handle it. Gurley has shown it for a year, and then he kind of had a little bit of a glimpse in his first year. I think, I mean, you can look at it because the other variable for Gurley is Sean McVay. Another variable for Kamara is his coach. It's Sean Payton. So, I mean, Sean's. With their two running backs there. So, I mean, you might just be like, you know what? I like their scheme. I like the way that they're going to use the players. I don't care about the volume. I don't care about the increased burden for Kamara, at least for the first 4 weeks. I don't care about that. I like the way that they're used in their offense. I like the way the offenses work. I'm just going to pick them anyways. Go ahead. Todd Gurley, honestly, the outlook for him this season is astronomically high. He's not going to probably reach the point he was last year because the Rams are going to be playing a first-place schedule this year. But I don't think he's going to go into the tank. There's no way he's going to. We're going to know who Todd Gurley is. We're going to see him on the highlight shows plenty. I'm going to be talking about him plenty on the show. So, I mean, if you are thinking about using a first pick for him and you're like, oh, I'm a little wary, he hasn't really shown me any sustainability or consistency over years. Yes, that's true. But this is his second season with this head coach. And it should be, and if the first season with the new head coach is enough, it's not like he's just working his way through and finally popped in the same system. It's the system that popped, and then he, along with that, popped. So, I mean, I think it's more of a systemic thing than him growing, because you saw what he could do his rookie year. Then he had a regression year because Jeff Fisher doesn't know how to handle running backs or an offense whatsoever. And then now you got Sean McVay, and he does. He definitely does. So I was a little wary on Todd Gurley. Obviously, you know what I'm going to do with him because I had him last year, and I'm in a keeper league this year. So I'll be keeping him and not picking in the fourth round. I picked him fourth. That's how bad of a year he had the year before last. He lasted to the fourth round. The fourth round. Did I tell you who was picked before him last year? I'm not going to do it. I think I talked about it on Thursday. We went through the people that were picked before him. All right. So I kind of am using this segment to kind of just, you know, give some rant outlook, you know, excitement for this coming season. My whole point was this is the month of the season where we're like, please don't get hurt. Please don't get hurt. Please don't get hurt. Even though we haven't picked them yet, it's just one more player. We don't need to lose anybody because I don't want to put any bad juju out there. I don't want to do it. But say somebody goes down, that's one less player that get picked. And that means everybody moves up a slot. So everybody's ADP goes up one. Depending on who the player is, obviously. But there is just, for PPR this year, there are just so many options. If you can't come away with two good running backs and two good receivers in the first four rounds, I don't know what you're doing in PPR. I don't know. What are you doing? If two receivers, two running backs, first four rounds, two receivers, two running backs, unless the only way that you're not going to come away with that is if you pick Gronk or Travis Kelce in the fourth round or third round, if you really think you need to. That's the only way. And technically, those count as receivers. So, I mean, it still goes, the way I'm saying. So, whether it's going to be Hopkins and maybe a Jerick McKinnon or a LeSean McCoy or Alex Collins or Jordan Howard or something like that. And that's what you would probably end up with in the second round if you picked a DeAndre Hopkins. And then the third round, a Juju Smith-Schuster. Michael Thomas is going to last that long. I mean, whoever's left over, basically, is going to be. There's still going to be guys left over. Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, Doug Baldwin. I mean, we're talking about receivers here. The second round, third round running backs, probably like a Joe Mixon. All those rookies. There are three rookies this year that are going to get substantial touches and are going to be very good fantasy players. Obviously, Saquon Barkley is one of them. He's projected the first round for a reason, especially for PPR. PPR, he's going to be a beast. I mean, I know I poo-pooed him a little bit on the show and in general, but just because of his college stats. But, I mean, he's going to have a good offense and good weapons around him. Especially to take away. I mean, I don't know. Defenses are going to key on him. That's the problem. He's not going to surprise anybody. That's the thing. Kamara surprised people. Gurley surprised people. David Johnson surprised people in his first year. I don't think Saquon is not surprising anybody. So he's going to have some growing pains, I think, this year. They're going to stack the box against them, and they're going to. The fortunate thing for the Giants is they have Odell Beckham. So maybe Saquon coming there and taking the ball to hubbub, and then again, Odell grants his own hubbub. It's New York. There's enough to go around. There's enough paparazzi to go around. So, I mean, you're going to have some. Both those guys are enough in the public eye enough. And that's why I think Sterling, everybody's like, oh, Sterling Shepard's going to have a bad year. Sterling Shepard's going to have a bad year. Well, they're going to bracket. They're going to bracket Odell on the outside with a safety in a corner, and they're going to stack the box against Saquon. So it looks like Evan Engram and Sterling Shepard are your only two options left. So, I mean, how can you tell me they're going to have a bad? He's going to have a bad year. I think Engram obviously is going to be fine. Tight ends are kind of recession proof almost. It seems like they just eventually will figure it out there, and he'll be open because he's a pretty elusive little tight end as well. But then Sterling Shepard, Eli doesn't have any allegiances to anybody, even though Odell would love him to feed me. No, sorry, but it's so annoying sometimes. Like feed me, gotta feed Odell in the beginning of the game. Why? Get open. You'll be fed. Get open. It's not up to me. It's up to you. Get open. That's all it takes. Get open. I'll throw you the ball. I'll find you. I mean, not every unless there's somebody else open. I mean, it's funny. Right when I said that, I'm like, wait, didn't Tom Brady go on NFL Network's Instagram account and look for, scroll down a little bit? And there, Tom Brady had a message for Randy Moss coming off of the induction ceremony last weekend. In Canton, Tom's all giving him all this praise and how great a receiver he was and how great of a teammate he was. And then he goes and says, you know what, I have great stories of Randy, and one of them was whenever I wouldn't throw him the ball, I would look at him. I would always look at him whenever I didn't throw him the ball. And Randy ran a lot of deep routes, so I would always ask if he was open and if he got him. And he'd always give me the little. He would put his hands about his foot, like a foot, like, you know, like a foot, the whole foot long side, like a foot long, like the logo thing. His hands about a foot apart, away from each other. He's like, I got him. I had space. And Tom's like, I'm sorry, I didn't throw you the ball enough. We probably had more touchdowns. I mean, more than they already did. The record breaking performance that those two put up. But it's just funny because every time, that's how receivers get frustrated. Is they get open and they don't get the ball. And but Eli Manning's a two-time Super Bowl MVP winning quarterback. I think if he sees Odell open, he'll get him the ball. If he sees Sterling Shepard open, he'll get him the ball. If he sees Saquon open, if he sees Evan Engram open, if they're all open, then you're playing a ghost defense. You're playing the worst defense in the league. But yeah, no, I'm telling you, defenses are going to key on certain things. They have to. They have to key on certain things. So people kind of go by the wayside. It's like why I think that a guy like Calvin Ridley down in Atlanta could have a good little rookie year because he's not going to get keyed on. He's going to be roaming free basically out there. And Matt Ryan, a very good quarterback at spreading around the ball, doesn't have any allegiances to anybody, is going to be able to find him. I mean, look what Ben Roethlisberger did last year with Juju Smith-Schuster. Obviously, AB got his touches too because he's Antonio Brown, but he was double covered a lot, and Juju was able to run wild. So there's definitely ways for that to work in New York as well as it's worked in Pittsburgh and then also in other places where we've seen. You know, basically, the top receiver becomes almost like a decoy. I mean, he gets his touches too, but he gets like it's like a decoy. There's actually a couple different teams these days that have this. Well, coming into the season, they have a very interesting. They have obviously a number one top receiver. And they have a really good little like secondary young receiver. So in Pittsburgh, they have Juju. In Houston, they have Will Fuller along with DeAndre Hopkins. I'm trying to think of the kid they have. Alongside, well, they just got Cameron Meredith, actually. The Saints have Cameron Meredith now, and I like him, actually. I like what he's been able to do with basically nobody playing quarterback for the Bears. Now he's going to have Drew Brees and Michael Thomas on the other side of him. So I think, yeah, he's going to be I've talked about him as a sleeper. We're going to get into the sleepers in a minute here, so it's kind of a good segue. But, yeah, that's one of the sleepers I've talked about a lot this year. Well, I don't talk about that much, but I've definitely brought him up on the show before because I like the fact that he moved over from the Saints or from the Bears to the Saints. And then another guy who might actually – I mean, I don't know. The whole Brandon Marshall thing in Seattle is weird. But another guy who you think of is Mike Williams in San Diego, because Keenan Allen gets a lot of attention. Obviously, he garners a lot of attention. That's one of the names I forgot that you could easily get in the second round. So if you go running back first round, you get either a Michael Thomas or a Keenan Allen second round, or an AJ Green. That's why I think you should probably go running back second round, because, or first round, unless you're going to be in a keeper league or something like that, because there are so many talented receivers for the second round. The running back core does kind of drop off mid second round after LeSean McCoy and McKinnon and Mixon. You kind of have a little bit of a drop off. There's still Kenyon Drake, who I'm not really that high on him this year. Maybe a Duke Johnson. No, I mean, Carlos Hyde, still kind of a crowded backfield there. All the Detroit backfield's really crowded. I mean, you could start going for the rookies based off of volume. So, I mean, that's just different options like that. We're just completing my thought on, you know, being able to get those two receivers and two pass catching people and two running backs in this first four rounds. And then you can go from there. All right, everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast on a Tuesday today here, as we are going over, well, now we're going to go over some more sleeper stuff. I know I talked about Cameron Meredith a lot, and just watch out, guys. Watch out. Saints, they know how to pass the ball around down there in New Orleans. Oh, they're going to be a defensive running team. Well, that was last year. They're going to probably integrate it a little more this year, I can assume, but I guess you're right. We don't know, but that's the way it is. You have Drew Brees still. I'm not going to worry about the receivers. It's just, it's not something I'm going to worry about. I'm going to worry about maybe Kamara and his, and the load that he has to deal with, this, the amount of volume he's going to have to deal with by himself with no Mark Ingram. Because I think the fact that they had both of them was the key to his success last year. But you know, it is what it is, and we'll find out as we go along. But, you know, we're in this 2 month period where it's like crossing our fingers, please nobody get hurt. I mean, this is gonna hopefully be a good preseason where we don't have any bad unfortunate things happen throughout the preseason schedule. But, you know, we've already had one game, and it was seemingly okay injury wise. I mean, performance on the field wise, quality of football on the field wise, wasn't that great. But what can't really expect much, as football is complicated, isn't it? And it would definitely requires a little more repetition and practice, simulated practice, before you can really put it on the paper on the field efficiently. All right. So going into my sleeper stuff here, I mean, there's always guys out there who you can find late, and that's why the waiver wire really is somebody that is something that you can just use. And there's going to be players that always are going to slip through the cracks and be kind of underrated, or at least be forgotten until they become bigger options. But right now, like I said, Cameron Meredith is a sleeper. You got Devontae Parker as a sleeper, because he's going to be coming out of nowhere. Well, at least coming out of nowhere because he plays for the Dolphins, but also the fact that there's no more Jarvis Landry anymore. So he's the only guy really down there in Miami to catch the ball, pretty much. George Kittle's another guy. We talked about George Kittle a lot. I love the athleticism, even though, yes, of course, he plays for the my Niners, but it is what it is. He's going to have Jimmy G thrown to him, which is apparently great because they have a great rapport being out here in the West Coast. I have the radio shows that I listen to are there right now. They're actually at Niners training camp. They're interviewing a lot of these players, and I was listening to one of the interviews with George Kittle, and he's like, "Yeah, me and Jimmy just." I mean, no, he wasn't like saying it. Of course, the pundit, the radio guy's like, "Yeah, you and Jimmy have had a really good rapport in practice already." It's like, "Oh yeah, yeah." He's trying to be modest about it, but no, they've been locked in already as they come into their second. Well, I mean, this is their first full season together. But obviously, you've seen what they could do. There's highlights of George Kittle catching a few touchdown passes from Jimmy G over the last few weeks of last season. So lots of decisions to make there at tight end because, I mean, George Kittle could slide right into that Hunter Henry role. You don't know who Hunter Henry was until he was really good for the Chargers. And, of course, now, unfortunately, he's out for the season. So George Kittle could slide right into his draft position slot. I put him around the number 8-9 tight end in the league right now. Because if you're thinking about it, I want me to go down the list really quick in my head. Obviously, Gronk. I like Travis Kelce actually better than Gronk, but Gronk has Brady, and Travis Kelce has a first-year starter, so we'll put Gronk up number one. Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, Evan Ingram, is at four. Delanie Walker is at five, or I think Delanie Walker is at five. Then you got Kyle Rudolph, and who am I thinking of? Jordan Reed's in there as well. Jimmy Graham actually should be higher. So Jimmy Graham's probably around five. I mean, this is actually kind of regardless of what I'm just trying to think of. That's eight already right now. So then George Kittle probably at nine. I mean, Mercedes Lewis isn't on a team anymore. I mean, who else you really got? I mean, Jared Cook? I don't know. Like, just kind of underwhelming. You got kind of pick your poison. I think he's going to have the volume that you're looking for, especially for PPR. I mean, PPR, George Kittle, they're basically going back to the West Coast offense. And I mean, you saw what they did in Atlanta. I mean, just imagine having what they had in Atlanta, but just a little bit more of an accurate quarterback to the short fields. As you can see, Jimmy G is a little more, I think, because Matt Ryan gets a little lanky on his throws. He's a taller guy. He's got longer arms, and he kind of get kind of lanky on his throws. So, yeah, when he drives the ball down the field, it's better. But those touch passes and the short little intermediate passes, he can get kind of wary, where Jimmy G is like an X-Acto knife. I mean, that's probably what they're saying. He's just like a surgical surgeon. You can hear Tom Brady talking about it. You can see Bill Belichick, the best coach of all time, probably. Maybe, I mean, some people could arguably he was going to trade Tom Brady. You know that, right? He was going to trade Tom Brady, and Jimmy G was going to be his next quarterback, and they were going to win some more Super Bowls. And now he wasn't allowed to trade Brady, so he traded Garoppolo, and he's going to ride off into the sunset with Brady. So it is what it is there in New England, just going in off that. All right, so looking back at our sleepers. I mean, we were thinking about Cameron Meredith. I mean, Tyler Lockett's another guy in Seattle. There's not really any other options other than him and pretty much Doug Baldwin there. Another guy, we talked about Spencer Ware a lot on this show a little bit regarding the fact that he might get a different role this year, maybe more of an even role with Kareem Hunt, maybe to keep his carries down and keep the wear and tear down, because you see Kareem Hunt did lose a little bit of a step that you could tell by probably like week 7 or 8 last year, and they probably want to keep that from happening, so they're going to mix in Spencer Ware a little more during the season. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, yeah, you can say he's a sleeper. I'm interested to see what he can do. We talked about Will Fuller, Jamison Crowder, Martavis Bryant, Nelson Agholor, Tariq Cohen. These are all guys you're gonna find after that first four round. You know, that chunk where I'm talking about. You need to get those players in the chunk. Then you can start thinking about it maybe in the 7th, 8th, 9th round. If you're gonna go 5th round, you can probably want to find a good flex player, and then in the 6th round is when you're gonna start drafting quarterbacks probably. 6th, 7th, 8th round. Some guys don't like drafting quarterbacks at all until the last round because they're just a dime a dozen, apparently, in our league. And the main thing is, you're right. if you want to say, it says keys to winning on the title. Quarterbacks aren't really your keys to winning. Key to winning is getting a good collection of pass catching running backs for PPR or short yardage guys that can get in the end zone and score and receivers and just a bunch of receivers. And that have good quarterbacks at least, or have quarterbacks that like to throw the ball down the field, because those bonus points are key for sure. So definitely something you should pay attention to coming into this draft, because that's always a big deal regarding who's going to get the best value from their receiving core. And then obviously, I mean, the draft is, I'm telling you, that's first four picks. That's why I'm so keen on those first four picks. That's the key for the draft. The key to winning your draft is getting those first four picks. Those are really the only guys that you're going to have to be locked into. Everybody else you can turn over. Every other person you could drop, you could pick somebody else up, you could mix and match. Honestly, I always like to have kind of a backup everything on my bench, at least just in case something happens or if I don't get up in time. Because being out here, those games all start at like 10 o'clock in the morning. For the East Coast games, all the first games start at 10 o'clock. So you got to be up in the morning on Sundays and being able to set your lineup, because those game day decisions can really bite you. And then if you don't have anybody to put in, you're like, oh, crap, I got to go over to the waiver wire and hopefully somebody's available. Nope, just have somebody on your bench. You can just flip in there. And then, like I said, you could always flip players. You could try and chop somebody and pick him back up the next week and keep it under the radar. Obviously, it all goes on to see how attentive your league is. If every single person in your league is like a Nazi and fantasy football Nazi going to be on top of this on like white on rice, then it'll be a little bit tougher. But if you're in maybe more of a relaxed league, or if you have only a couple guys that are really paying attention, then you can try and make some moves and you can be really a savvy owner this year. So, I mean, that's your key. I mean, that's my key. My keys to winning are going to be in the next segment. It'll probably be the last segment of the day, as we're going to cut this one a little bit short today. But it is a good show, and we're going to be continuing our talk on the. We talked about these sleepers a little bit here as we go along. I mean, these are all guys that you could either pick in the draft or might fall through the draft, and you get them in waivers later in the year. So, I mean, these are all different options ways to get these players, especially. So, I've talked about Marquise Goodwin a lot. I do want to go through a couple comparisons, because there are some straight up comparisons that are kind of tough. So, I mean, the Kamara Melvin Gordon comparison is popular because of the fact that they. Well, Kamara's only been in the league one year, and Gordon's been kind of trying to prove himself for the last couple of years. And then now they're really trying to hit their stride and become the number one running backs in their at least in their divisions, respectively. So, Kamara, I think you're going to get more upside maybe during those first 4 weeks than you're going to get, obviously, Mark Ingram back. But the fact that Mark Ingram's there doesn't make a difference. Actually, I think helps him because he can get more. Especially if you're PPR, I'd say Kamara. If you're not PPR, basically Melvin Gordon. There you go. Because Melvin Gordon's going to be the bell cow back. He's going to get a lot of touches just running the ball. He's going to catch it out of the backfield more too. But Kamara, once Ingram comes back, Kamara will primarily probably be catching the ball out of the backfield a lot, versus Ingram is. I mean, not Ingram, but Gordon is the number one guy in Los Angeles for the Chargers, and he's going to be getting the ball a lot, handed to him just out of the backfield on those power run plays or sweeps or whatever it's going to be out there in San Diego, because that's the kind of position that he's going to be playing versus having a tandem situation like they do in New Orleans, at least after week four, of course. Another one is another comparison out here we have that I wanted to highlight was the two tight ends. So we obviously talked about Gronk. I think it's best of both worlds, honestly. Zach Ertz versus Travis Kelce. Maybe you want to lean towards Ertz because he's going to have Carson Wentz, but Carson Wentz is injured, coming off an injury, but still it's still Carson Wentz. So maybe you'd like that, just that point of it. But then I think Travis Kelce is a little bit better possession tight end, kind of finds those soft spots in the zone better. Ertz is a little more of a route runner, going to use a scheme to get open, versus Travis Kelce is going to be just looking for a soft spot in the zone, turning around and getting the ball in his chest. Kelce obviously is going to be having Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback, and then, you know, the fact that you're going to have a young quarterback in there always can spark a little bit of red flags for fantasy owners regarding just kind of getting him the ball. So obviously, Zach Ertz becoming the number one receiving target last year for the Eagles, and at least targets per game last year, is a good note as well. So, like I said, pick your poison for those two guys. Really, just who do you feel comfortable with throwing them the ball is pretty much where it is. Another one, Jordan Howard versus Jerick McKinnon. This is kind of the same thing as Gordon versus Kamara, because McKinnon is, while he will be the number one guy in San Francisco, he's going to have Matt Breida next to him. And Matt Breida is an undrafted free agent who was signed last season and ended up having a good little year last year. I mean, I was actually just looking at his stats from last year, and they're not too shabby. Not at all. Because actually he was one of the guys they were interviewing. I was listening to another interview from Niners camp. But yeah, Matt Breida, he played, how many games did he play last year? It doesn't want to tell me how many games, but he had, I mean, 105 attempts, 465 yards. That's over 4 yards a carry, two rushing touchdowns, 21 catches for 180 yards and a receiving touchdown. What's wrong with that? Nothing. And he's fast. So, I mean, I'll come back and give you my take after the break on, you know, the whole trade off between Howard and McKinnon. So it's very similar to my take on the Kamara and Gordon one. So everybody stay tuned and we'll be right back with that.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast on a Tuesday today here as I'm talking about some player comparisons. I know I said keys to winning, but there's so many different keys to winning. Keys to winning is being aggressive in the waiver wire. Keys to winning is drafting well in the first four rounds. Keys to winning is being aggressive in the waiver wire. And also there's luck, of course, involved. Always luck involved. And then also matchups. Just matchups. Matchups, matchups, matchups. Projections are one thing. The projections are kind of an evil. Sometimes you don't fall bait to the projections because they're annoying. And yeah, so just look at matchups. Look at who's going to be playing, obviously, on defense versus your player. Try and look at all the different performance variables we were talking about, and then also get good players. It's when your running back can single-handedly win your league for you, it's always nice. It's nice to have some surrounding cast around him as well. So, I mean, if I end up with Gurley and Hopkins again this year, watch out. But no, watch out my league at least, because I even had Aaron Rodgers get hurt and still won. With Matt Stafford and Ben Roethlisberger. So it can be done. Your quarterbacks don't really matter, honestly. It's true. They're all a dime a dozen. It all really evens out. Your quarterbacks aren't going to really... They can win weeks for you, definitely. They can win individual weeks for you, and they can lose individual weeks for you as well. But they're not going to win a championship for you. It's a collection. It's a collection of a good flex player, a good receiver, and a good running back. And then also defense. I know... Maybe I'm going to have to end up going on that on Thursday. We'll do a whole IDP show along with individual defensive players. That's what that is. And also then do some team defense stuff for people who are not in IDP leagues. But yeah, so we can go into that as well. Maybe even this segment. But I wanted to continue what I was thinking about with Kamara and McKinnon. McKinnon is going to be in Kyle Shanahan's offense with Jimmy G. Is going to be the number one back. He also, I mean, the thing is, I actually didn't know about him, but learning about it, he during his combine, he led all running backs with his bench, and that was I think he reps like 32 times. And you saw what Saquon Barkley did, and he beat everybody out with the bench. And I mean, he's a bigger dude, obviously. You can see the thickness of his size. But McKinnon, you might think, is more of a speed, smaller dude, but the guy's got some strength too. So I would not be afraid of him either being your bell cow back on just running the ball straight ahead or catching the ball in the backfield as well. But he's going to have Matt Breida as well as with him to be that, another speed back as well. So, I mean, two, he's going to kind of be a power hybrid speed back with Breida being another speed back with you. But then McKinnon also is going to be more of your pass catcher. And then with Jordan Howard has Tariq Cohen. So it's kind of it's a reverse where Jordan Howard's going to be running the ball more than catching it. So PPR, I would say McKinnon, non-PPR, Howard. That's pretty much it. Because I think Tariq Cohen will have a increased role this season, as he was definitely a very hot commodity in the fantasy leagues in the middle of the year last year, then kind of fell off the map a little bit. But that's just because he's on the Bears. It's funny how, you know, good fantasy players come from good teams. It's amazing how that kind of works, usually, how that correlates correctly. Because when teams play well, their offenses usually play well, and they score points, and that's what we want for fantasy football. We want to score points. And when Mitchell Trubisky goes in a little bit of a slump when it comes to throwing the ball to Tariq Cohen, or at least those short passes, that can get ugly pretty quickly. So there you go. I said keys to winning. I like to have two defenses just in case, like I said, I forgot one or I can't go and pick up a team with a good matchup. So I always try to outlook actually a couple weeks ahead of time. Say, okay, were they playing like 2 weeks? I'll pick them up now. And then just in case I can't like go get them later, I'll have them already and I'll be able to play them against when they play the Browns. I mean, that's the thing. I think of the 16 weeks that we played last year, including playoffs, I think probably 12 of the 16 weeks I had the defense that was playing the Browns. I think so. That's how much I turned over my defense. I would just pick the team that had the Browns. I mean, it worked sometimes. It didn't work every time, but it worked most of the time. that was my strategy. That's what I went for, and it worked out well for me. So, because, I mean, your defense can be a beautiful boost, honestly. It can make or break your team. I mean, honestly, any positions, I'm going to say no. There's no one position that's going to make or break your league. I mean, make or break a week for you, because even your kicker, if you lose by 2 points and your kicker missed a field goal, there you go. That made or broke your week, so... And it goes to show you what can happen in fantasy. So kickers obviously matter too. So keys to winning are making sure you have fresh rosters and guys that are performing well at the right time. So, I mean, that's pretty simple. I mean, duh, Tom, what do you think? You think I didn't know that? Well, yeah, but you have to be aggressive. Be aggressive. Even if you don't need to make any moves, if you don't think you need to make any moves and you have the number one waiver priority, make a move. Just do it. Just do it, because you're never going to have that. It's going to cycle all the way back. You're not going to have that number one waiver priority for probably a few more weeks, if not once more before the season ends. Because I think you get it, depending on how many teams you have, you can get it once or twice a season, depending on how bad your team is as well. I think it goes off of standings as well a little bit too. So if you're reeling, if you're at the bottom of the standings in your league, there's probably a reason, and you need to use that waiver wire to your ability, and maybe use all your ads. Do a whole... I've used all four ads one time in 1 week, multiple times, to do a full roster turnover. And then sometimes guys come back. Sometimes guys... you can bring them back on the team. There's no penalty for repeats. If you drop them and pick them back up, it's not a problem. I mean, last year... Who did I finish with? I think I mean, compared to the people I drafted, I don't have the draft results, unfortunately. I wish I did, honestly. I really wish I had the draft results from last year. Do I? Oh, my goodness. I have the draft results from last year. All right, so here's my draft from last year. I think I went through it. I think I went through it last already with the when I was looking at the poster board that we did last year from our draft. I got a C. Yahoo Sports gave me a C on my draft recap because I picked Aaron Rodgers first overall. Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins, Todd Gurley, C.J. Anderson, Kelvin Benjamin, Jordan Reed, Joe Mixon, Randall Cobb, Patriots defense, Emmanuel Sanders, Jaren Sproles, Cooper Kupp, Matt Prater, Ben Roethlisberger, and Seth Roberts. Wow. All right. I think there's probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Maybe 6, 7, or 8 players of the 15 players or 16 players are actually still on my team, and many of them were dropped and re-picked up. A lot of turnover. I mean, you still got Roethlisberger, Hopkins, Evans, Gurley. Alex Collins wasn't there. Jack Doyle wasn't there. Riddick wasn't there. Cooper Kupp was. Goodwin, no. Anderson, yes. Clay, no. Foles, no. Wallace, no. Rodgers was hurt, so, I mean, he was there. Robbie Gould, no. Chargers defense, Bears defense, no. Didn't draft either of those teams. I mean, look at that. The Chargers, the Jets are actually a very good alternative if you can't get the Cleveland defense. Like last week, actually the championship week, I had a choice: Bears defense against the Cleveland or the Chargers defense against the Jets. And I mean, honestly, it was pick or poison. They ended up both finishing with 15 points even, which is just hilarious because it was like it didn't matter who I picked because they both were playing really well. Also, defenses get hot. Offenses get hot. Watch trends. Make sure you're watching your shows. Matthew Berry is not an idiot. He's very smart. Don't pay attention to Matthew Berry. He's ESPN. No, he's smart. The guy is connected. He knows his stuff. He has these hot takes and stuff like that, but you don't have to listen to every single one of his little player sleeper picks or picks to click or whatever he does. But just some of his keys or different techniques you can use, to key players and to get players, through the waivers as well. So, it's definitely a good little tool you can use there as well. I probably went through like 4 kickers last year too. So, try and look at teams that make a bunch of field goals. I mean, that's pretty much what it is, that you need, as well. So I'm just looking at here. It's interesting. Yeah. What did I count? Like what? 7 or 8 guys from the night draft that were still on the team, from last year. So, I mean, there's definitely different options. There's definitely options out there. Did I say Mike Wall? I said Williams, didn't I? When I was talking about the Chargers receiver. Yeah. All right. I was just thinking, I saw Mike Wallace on there, and I'm like, no. I didn't say him, right? He's on the, he's on Philly? I don't know. Yeah, guys moved around a bunch. He's supposed to be this, like, super fast receiver, and he's not been able to do anything. All right. Okay. Last few minutes of the show here. I know we talked about the sleepers, and then, of course, the keys to winning are it's a long season. You sustaining success can be difficult. I mean, what did I finish last? I was 9-5. I lost 5 times during the year. There was a guy who was 12-2 last year and lost in the semifinals. So it's a week to week game. It's a constantly ebbing and flowing thing. There's injuries. There's hot streaks and cold streaks. So you got to be locked in. Be aggressive on the waiver wire. Don't. Oh, maybe next week. No, do it this week. If you have even an inkling of a player is maybe dropping down and his stock is dropping a little bit, and you don't, even if you're going to put him on your bench, if you're going to bench somebody and you don't have a plan on using them within the next few weeks, just drop them. Pick somebody else up. Get some fresh legs. Get a fresh face in there. You never know what's going to happen. And you can end up finding a matchup that works out really well for you because, like I said, it's all about the matchups. They play different teams every week, every single week. I mean, I'm not a savant. I don't have a crystal ball, but you can try and use the matchups to your best ability. This team is weak here. This team is strong here. Okay, let's use him. They even help you out, at least on Yahoo helps you out with the little color coordination on the scheduling. So it'll tell you the green or yellow or red. So obviously based off how many points that that particular team allows to that particular position. So that gives you some help there. Use all the help you can get. That's what I'm saying. Use all the help you can get, and don't afraid to ask for advice, and be aggressive on the waiver wire. Be aggressive on the waiver wire. When it comes to drafting, the first 4 rounds are your clutch, are your must rounds. Find a quarterback somewhere throughout the rest of the draft and have some fun with your getting a flex player as well. So, and that's pretty much it, because I think your defense is basically your week one defense. You can try and move it around. I've even drafted a defense and changed it by the time week one rolled around. So, I mean, there's so many different things you can do as we're coming closer and closer to this fantasy season, and it is exciting. We need to get through this month clean. We need to get through this month with no major injuries, please, because because I don't want to have Johnny rain clouds during the draft. Like, oh, I wish I could pick him, but no, he's hurt. So we need to get through this draft, get through the preseason clean. At least if there's, I mean, I know it's football, it's a collision sport. People, guys are flying all over the place. Injuries happen. Just no major injuries, please. No season enders, please. Knock on wood, say a prayer, do whatever you need to do. Run around three times and snap your fingers. Something to get that juju where it's working well, where we can get going and get this season started nice and easy and clean and have a good fantasy season this year. All right, that'll wrap it up for the show today. We'll come back on Thursday and complete some stuff on defense. We're going to definitely do a defensive show on Thursday. So everybody have a good Tuesday, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.